What should the realistic expectations be for Auburn football going into the 2024 season? Hugh Freeze had an opinion on this, and we asked the people what theirs was as too, and that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of the Auburn Daily Show. Host Alex, with our guest joining us today, Auburn Daily writer Andrew Stefaniak. As always, we are back at you, bringing the heat, bringing the latest conversation, and the clip we're going to talk about for this episode is going to be the next round in an interview with Hugh Freeze. And they asked him about the expectations specifically surrounded the playoffs. And Andrew, you listened to this quote, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So basically it was sort of like, okay, expectations surrounding the playoffs. And Hugh Freeze was very candid in his answers and pretty much said, like, there was no bug out of Hugh. I don't like setting unrealistic expectations because that kind of sets you up to be upset. So right out of the gate, what was your opinion on that answer from Hugh?
I think a lot of people might be a little bit upset with that. But for me, it's like, I don't disagree with them. I mean, here's the deal. I think Auburn's been better this year than they were last year. I don't think they're going to be college football playoff better than last year. I don't. I think they're going to win 8 football games. That's my opinion on this team. And I think if you do that with this young talent, you feel really good heading into the following season. And I think that's what Hugh's kind of setting up here. So, I mean, Auburn fans, listen, I see it every day. You know, people, we all do it. We're fans. It's short for fanatic. I love to say it. But you know what I mean? I mean, you put out, oh, prediction, Auburn's going to go 11-1. I mean, come on. You know, I don't think that's going to happen. I see people doing this stuff all the time. And just looking at it, it's like, I don't disagree with them. I think it's fair to have manageable, reasonable expectations. It's a simple concept. It's not. He's not overdoing it. He's not underdoing it. He's not saying we're going to win 10 games. He's saying we're going to have a fine season. We'll be better this year. I have a lot of young guys that got to develop college football, get used to the speed of the game. So I'm not frustrated with that comment like I think some might be, but I understand if you are, because you want your coach to be like, yeah, we're winning the national championship. We're, you know, you want your coach to be fiery. And I'm sure behind closed doors, Hugh is. I just think that you don't want to say, hey, we're winning 10 games this year, and then you go 7-5, and everyone's like, well, screw you, man. Like, I don't think you want to set yourself up for that.
Yeah, you don't want to write a check that you can't cash.
Exactly.
And obviously with the playoffs expanding, and obviously this goes with the playoffs expanding, it's a little bit more of like, oh, okay, more teams should be in the mix. Do you think you can still be in the mix? Well, if you didn't have Alabama and Georgia on your schedule every year, like maybe you feel a little bit better about that, but the way the nature is, Auburn is the only team that plays those two teams, and Auburn and pretty much every other team in the country, with the exception of maybe two or three, I mean, that's going to pretty much be two automatic losses with some just bizarre anomalies in there. That's nothing against Auburn. That is just everything for what Alabama and Georgia have built over the last decade. Now, obviously, that may change a little bit with the new era at Alabama, but until we see it, they are what they have been. And Georgia is giving nobody any reason to think that they're going to be anything less than what they've been as well. And I mean, Auburn played two very good games against them both last year at home. Obviously, they got them away this year, but still, good games, great games. Well, if you didn't win, you didn't win. So, and that's what the playoff committee looks at. And obviously, unless you're, you know, Florida State, those wins and losses do matter. So, but I like kind of how Hugh phrased this, where he said, you know, I don't like to set up the unrealistic expectations. And just for those out there, this is on the Next Round social media pages. So you can go find this video clip, Facebook, Twitter, probably all the places they post it. But I thought it was a good question. But I like kind of, I agree with you. I like how Hugh set that up. And he was just very much like that. Obviously, that is the, that's what you want to hit every time. But if you start with that expectation, I think you fall short of what you really should be achieving to. And what does he immediately say after that is, I think we will be better next year. Okay, there's a lot, obviously, unfortunately, the bar was kind of lower last year than I think a lot had hoped for year one. It was better than the year before marginally. Okay, we're getting better and better each year. We're rebuilding the right way, which does take some time. Yeah. Say what you want about Hugh Freeze, good, bad, or ugly. Love him, hate him. But I mean, you can't really deny that the process he has on paper really seems like, yes, I think it would be hard to disagree that this is kind of how you do a proper rebuild, given the circumstances that Auburn's in right now. I can't really have any major critique on what he's been doing. It just, it makes sense. It's a slower process. It's not the funnest process. It's not the Team of Destiny, what Auburn had done in many years prior that I think a lot of people like kind of romanticize and long for. Hey, we will be better. That should be the goal. Let's get better. Maybe not 1-0 mentality better, because that's backfired on us before. And then understanding, too, that if we shoot too high, we kind of ignore, we don't really, getting better doesn't really sink in, and you're sitting, and we use the word frustration. You are frustrated. You're not focusing on what you really tangibly need to be achieving. Now, if you get so much better in the playoffs than happen, that's great. But you can't look way beyond what the realistic finish line should be. Like, you know, if I'm in school and I'm like, hey, you know what? Like, I'm trying to run a faster mile right now. I'm trying to run a faster 5K, whatever it is. Like, I don't need to be like, okay, well, I'm gonna go ahead and just run this marathon while trying to get my mile or 5K up. That's stupid. I'm not in any shape to run. I'm not in enough shape to run to the end of my driveway. Just going to call that for what it is.
Touche, brother.
So, you know, that is sort of that.
Yeah.
But I do want to ask you, because Andrew, you were a former college athlete. You have been a player in these type of situation. What is that mindset like from a player deal? Like, what, from a player standpoint, what do you think like that expectations? Is that some coach speak? Do you think that would resonate better within the locker room if you heard something like that? Obviously, you played college baseball, but like, what's that like from, you know, somebody's been there?
It's not the same conversation he's having in his locker room. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's not what he's telling his locker room. He's not going to go into a game, and I think we all know this. He's not going to go into a game. He's like, okay, we have to go to Tuscaloosa. We're probably going to lose, but we're going to try our best. Okay, guys, we're going to have a good time. It's not what he's saying. I'm sure he's saying some colorful language. He's screaming and yelling and punching walls, as he should be, to get you fired up. But, I mean, heading into a season, I always like it when a coach is candid. You know, my college coach was, you know, he came into years like, you know, we're projected to finish fifth in the conference. That's up to y'all. Do y'all want to finish fifth in the conference, or do y'all want to finish better in the conference? And then, ironically, we ended up winning our conference that year. And, you know, it's just kind of like, you can use it either way. You can use the whole, we're the top dogs, people are coming after us. That'd be your Kirby Smart, your DeBoer, your perhaps, as painful as it is, your Lane Kiffin type of speech for this season. Sark as well. You know, we're the top dogs, everybody wants to beat you. For Auburn, you can have that nobody believes in us type of mentality. Nobody believes in you.
Right. And an interesting part, too, that he mentioned in that, which I think was the one specific he said, was addressing the young players. Because I think there's a lot of hype around these young players. I actually really like this aspect in the strategy of Hugh. Is he understands that all eyes are going to be on these young guys.
Yeah.
Like Cam Coleman specifically. Some of these guys that are going to be sophomores, true freshmen, redshirt freshmen that kind of came touted in with a lot of pedigree, highly ranked, all that. And that is where the hype is going to be. Now, you want to get your young players touches and action because, one, that is a huge recruiting tool. Hey, look, we brought this high-profile guy in. Instant impact. That's how we coach. You know, that's a good thing. But, hey, we brought this young guy in. You know, he would be drafted in the first round if he could be. It set SEC records year one, beating teams. Like, okay, let's pump the brakes here a little bit. And you kind of saw that with, like, you know, a lot of people were even like, oh, you know, Walker White should be starting. Like, no. Probably good that Walker White redshirts and develops and learns the game at this level. Those were Walker White's words. I helped film an interview with him. I heard him say it himself. Like, he's very much like under like, hey, like there's a system here. I know what I need to do to grow my game. Like the jump from high school to college is huge. And even these guys are talented and athletic and just have that God-given ability. Like there is still a massive mental part of the game that you have to learn. And I think he was saying it and wanting people to understand, like, there's going to be growing pains. You'll see some flash in the pans of some of these guys. They'll make some huge, God-given athletic plays, and then they'll probably have some times where they just do something stupid and make a freshman mistake. They'll have that freshman game. Let's look at Bo Nix. Way too much hype around him. Probably didn't need to throw him to the Wolves. He did really well, and then he went down to Gainesville and had his freshman game. He made a lot of dumb freshman mistakes. And that happens. He's obviously a very talented player, ended up being a first-round draft pick, but he was also a kid that was playing high school ball a year prior, like a lot of these guys are.
He was a prom 2 months before. starting his first game too much. Like,
yeah, and I think it's good that Hugh kind of tried to dial that back a little bit to get people to understand, like, yes, there's a lot of reason to be excited, but let's not be putting undue pressure on these guys. And let's, you know, we being him as the coaching staff and the coaching staff know that there's a process that we have to do to get these guys ready to play at this level. And I think he's hopefully the strategy there is like, you know, if there's those moments that it ain't as pretty as you imagined it being, as you kind of start booging in the offseason, like, don't come at these guys. We know that this is a process, but we get these guys, we develop, and then we get the new guys, you stair step in. What do you have? A built program. We will be better. I think there's a lot of reasons to think that. Now, is it going to be competing at the top of the top level? No, it doesn't need to be. That is going to be down the road. You got to build that. You got to build that step up. You got to get there. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just like anything else. You got to crawl, the walk, the run. You can't go from crawling to running. There's a middle ground step. And I think Hugh knows, like, this is that year where we want to really solidify this middle step. So then when we start, you know, we're crawling, now we're walking. We want to walk. We get a little power walk. Then once we get these other big classes, I mean, 2025 is being a sneaky good recruiting class. They get a little action on the field. You get some big fish landed in that. And then, you know, then maybe next year, this is like, okay, could Auburn be a dark horse? Then after that, when they hopefully consistently are doing it, then it's like, all right, then you've now solidified yourself in the national conversation every year. That is how it has to go. And Auburn never really kind of built with that process. Like I said, it was flash. It was team of destiny. It was all these just bam, bam, bam things. And it kind of, you ended up getting mud on your face when you had a team that was sort of like, you know, flashy for this, or it was kind of really propped on this and that player, but it wasn't like the team as a whole. The recruiting wasn't as consistent to rebuild those gaps when you had a lot of guys hit the NFL because they were obviously sneaky talented. And then you look at a year or two after that and you're like, wow, how did we fall off so fast? Well, because the build wasn't consistent. And that takes time. And obviously Auburn fans haven't ever really experienced that in a long, long time. And it's a tough feeling. So you kind of get to unrealistic expectations. So I'm going to read some tweets, Andrew, because we threw this tweet out there. And so while I pull these up, I just want to ask you, like, what sort of, in your opinion, do you think unrealistic expectations that you've heard on these airwaves out there?
You know, I just think I would consider this somewhat of a loser mentality. It's the, well, the next year we're buying it for next year, but this has been Hugh's plan from day one. Is 2025 is the year we're going to be planning to compete. And they're going to improve from last year to this year. That's going to happen. I believe Auburn wins 8 football games this year. I believe they go to a solid bowl game, hopefully win it. You finish the year 9-4. Think how fun this conversation will be this time next year, Alex, if Auburn goes 9-4 this year. Think how, all that young talent, what I'm getting at here. So I think that needs to be the goal. And it's funny, if you look up the schedule, you know, you start 5-0 with a big win over Oklahoma. It would take the win over Oklahoma. You do that, you beat the other whatever team, ULM, you beat Vandy. There's 7 wins right there. Then all you have to do to get 8 wins is beat either probably Kentucky, Missouri, or Texas A&M. You go 1-2 in those football games, you win 8 football games.
Yeah, and there's a very real chance that Auburn could start 5-0. Obviously, that Oklahoma game will be huge. I got some people who really show guests, for those out there who have been listening for a minute here. No, he's been gone. He'll be back. Pat Barnes. He's selling me the dream that Oklahoma squad is going to have some major weaknesses that Auburn sets up with well. We'll probably have him back on to talk about that. But he's been like, been in my ear about that for weeks now, where he does like a really in-depth dive of like comparing rosters. Yeah. And he really does believe that Oklahoma squad is might just be riding a little too high, and that Auburn could definitely exploit that with that game being in Auburn. So
I mean, just I'm telling you, you look at this. You start the year 5-0, you're going to win 8 football games. Because, and I'm not, I know New Mexico State happened, and it's now the New Mexico State Commodores playing Vandy at home. But you start the year 5-0, you beat Vandy, you beat ULM. But if you start the year 5-0, you're basically 7-0 because you play Vandy and ULM at home. You have 7 wins. You have 5 games to get 1 win, with of course 2 of those being on the road against Georgia and Bama, and then here in my home city of Lexington at Texas A&M at home, and then at Missouri. You go 1-5 in those football games, you win 8 football games.
8 games, that's right. So I want to go. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say, like, I mean, I think that eight wins, should be the goal. And I think it's extremely realistic. I really do. I think that's extremely realistic. And I think honestly, if you start 5-0, that's when the 9-win conversation. I'll tell you this. I'm here in Lexington. I think Kentucky is going to be dog water. I think they're going to be very bad. I have some intel there, injury bugs, some stuff. I don't think they're going to be good. I think Auburn can win in Lexington, and that's a game people are expecting Auburn to lose for some reason. So you win that one.
I think it's because Mark Stoops normally is really good in the trenches. He's always got the big fellas playing strong in the offensive line.
That's where the injuries are.
People were nervous about what was going to happen with Auburn's defensive line. Are they going to go in there? Da, 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 da. And so that was where the question marks, I think, were rising, was kind of that matchup. It's like, well, will Auburn be able to get any point of pressure on them? Will they be able to run the ball at will? Will they be able to pass the ball or have plenty of time to pass the ball? And then it's sort of like, okay, well, if Kentucky can do that, then you got to wonder, like, is Auburn's offense going to sputter on the road like they've had trouble with in the past? So I get people's reservations for that Kentucky game, but from somebody who lives in Lexington, is plugged in there, obviously covers the team, boog a little bit for my folks out there listening. I mean, Andrew knows that hashtag Andrew knows. Now, I want to jump into this tweet a little bit because I presented this on Twitter. I cited the next round quote and asked people, what do you think the expectations for Auburn should be next season? Now, I think my favorite response to this was any sort of defensive pressure on 4th and goal from the 31 as a start. I think that's a great response to that because I agree. If it is last play of the game on 4th and 31, let's get a little pressure on the QB. You know, I wholeheartedly second that. Now, this is a controversial one because you kind of said it. I don't know if I agree with it, but I love this kind of being a voice for the people. That is one part I really love about this segment. But it says anything under 8 wins would be a failure. I personally do not agree with that. Do you?
I think the schedule sets up for it, which is why I'd be a little frustrated. But I don't know if I'd call it a failure. But at some, this is my issue. At some point, you got to win. At some point. I mean, at the end of the day, this is Auburn football. I'm not going to be happy if we go 7-5. Yes, it's improvement. We're set up for next year. But then, like, next year, okay, eight wins. Like, you know what I mean? At some point, it's like just win some dang football games. And I think that with this schedule, 8 wins is very, very realistic, especially if they can take care of business against Oklahoma. I think that game is going to be what makes or breaks this season. I think if they win that game at home, I think that they win 8 football games. And, no, I mean, I'm still going to be excited for next year being 2025 if Auburn goes 7-5 this year. But I just would feel – so I don't say I'd agree with that statement, but I would say I'm not far off is what I would say.
Yeah, I mean, I think that – I mean, I agree. There's a lot of people in these replies are talking about 8 wins. I think there's some people who are – really drawn. I'm not gonna say less than 8 would be a failure, but I think there's a lot of people who are 8-4. I would lean to just like maybe think 7-5 a little bit just to kind of tamper the expectations. I would be fine with a 7-5 if it was maybe a Missouri or Kentucky was like better than we thought, and maybe Oklahoma too, something like that. You get some close games, but really, if Auburn just has some good offensive firepower at 7-5, your top half in the SEC and a decent amount of metrics, I would be okay with that. I would almost rather have that than be like bottom half of SEC offensively and just scraped by with 8-4 just because you like the other teams weren't that good.
Yeah.
Like I think for me, it's so much less about the record in my opinion. And a lot, and I've said this and I will say this throughout the season, it's going to be a lot more how they perform because on paper, on the offense, awful. And like, if you stack that 2 years in a row, I do kind of wonder, like, will that start to catch up with you in recruiting? But how important it is now, if you have a massive leap in offensive performance with guys that Hugh Freeze brought in, that recruiting pitch gets a lot better. Hey, look what we're doing with my guys now. Look how much we're improving. Think how much better we'll improve with you here. That's a big thing. And if they don't have that, I personally am worried. And there were some people that kind of echoed that sentiment in there. And I agree with this too. One person said, you know, 7-5 at worst, anything less than that, we should be worried. Now I agree with that. Unless there's just a barrage of injuries. And at that point, kind of all predictions are off. But if you go less than 7-5 again, I think that's when we start kind of like trouble in paradise. I do not foresee that happening. But if you do have a 6-win season, then it's like, okay, especially with how the record shakes out. They're just, as you mentioned, there's a pretty easy layup here for 7-0. So, yeah. But I agree. I mean, I don't think 8-4 is unrealistic at all. I think a few things go your way. You got 9 wins. I think the gap between getting 9 wins and 10 plus wins is immense.
Yeah. I agree.
But, you know, anything's possible. We don't play LSU, so it'll be or Ole Miss. Man, Hugh versus Ole Miss would have been, that would have been an electric game to have going again. I'm kind of sad they didn't let the Rebel Bowl happen.
Yeah, let them do
so. But yeah, to conclude the episode here, as like I said, we got a lot of people there. I think there's a little bit of boogie in these replies. I mean, some people are really like 9 wins, da da da, and I don't know if that. But I kind of gave mine. I think my expectations less about the record and more about offensive performance being better. That's what I really want to see this season.
Yeah.
It's just Peyton Thorne, receivers, all the things, just the play call, just everything. And we'll dive into that in some later episodes. But let's kind of ask you to conclude, Andrew, your expectations for the season.
Expectations, I want to see offensive improvement. You make a really solid point there. I want to see some offensive improvement. I want to see Peyton Thorne, obviously he'll be gone, but I want to see, hey, okay, we can develop a veteran quarterback, prove, hey, maybe we need to transfer. Let's say Walker White doesn't end up being what we think, and then for that 25 seed, you need to go get a transfer, prove, hey, look what we do with Peyton Thorne in year two. Offensive improvement, show you that you can turn Cam Coleman into a star, keep running the football well. This offensive line needs to be as good as we think. The defense, get the young guys, the front seven looking good. We know what you got in the secondary. You're young there, but with a lot of talent. The key is young and talented. So I think go win 8 football games. If you go win 8 football games and you win your bowl game, there is going to be the most hype, I think, around an Auburn football season in a very long time. Very long time heading into 25 if you win 8 football games this year. So go do it. I mean, all it would really take is starting 5-0, which is not an easy ask, but I think it is. I think it's really just going to be, can you beat Oklahoma? You beat Oklahoma. You take care of business against the 2 games you should, ULM and Vandy. You win 1 of 5 games. 3 of them are very winnable. You do that. And Missouri, I don't know if I'd say very winnable, but winnable. You do that. You win 8 football games. The hype around this team, around this program is through the roof. I think it's what you got to do. I think it comes down to that.
No, I agree with that wholeheartedly. I think if you have a benchmark of 8, you have that, just the offensive numbers, a lot better, smoother, top half of the SEC, especially highlighted by some of your younger players coming up, specifically like your Cam Coleman. And you stack that with a strong 2025 recruiting class. I think you start going into that next season really, really starting to feel pretty excited. And there is a lot to be excited about. And I think just being understanding some realism, there's going to be some highs and there's probably going to be some low points. And I think that's what Hugh Freeze is trying to set us up to understand. I think even if Auburn does start 5-0, just keep the expectations level. Don't start thinking playoff dark horse here, because, I mean, every game they have, after that, you have your entire month of October away. So you're going to drop some road games there. So don't get too excited with it. Be happy there. Understand what the goal is. And if they overachieve, that's great. But don't hammer them if you think they're going to overachieve and then they don't, and then be somewhat disappointed for the team. It's all about the long haul. I feel good that these guys are going to do it. And like I said, I think Hugh Freeze is trying to set it up as well. Not a coach speaky guy, very candid. I appreciate that. And I think that's good for his players, locker room, and culture, because he's not trying to put them in a situation for failure. And as he said, frustration. He wants fans to do it too. So guys, that's going to wrap us up here for the Auburn Daily. Appreciate you guys checking us out. You can find Andrew on his socials right here at Andrew Stefani. Of course, check out all his writing at auburndaily.com. You check, obviously, the AuburnDaily.com, found him and all the other staff there putting out the bestest of stuff. Find him on the social medias there. Find me at Auburn Memes on Twitter, just doing all sorts of nonsense. Gets a little crazy on there, but you know how we operate. And yeah, thanks for supporting the show. Like, subscribe on YouTube. You know, hit the follow button, notification button, whatever the buttons are, wherever you get your podcast. I want to thank you guys again for tuning in. We'll be back at you next week. And of course, I want to thank show sponsors, Plains Coffee, PlainsCoffee.com. Use that checkout code Auburn for 10% off. And, of course, the Opelika Birmingham Rage Room, where when Auburn does frustrate you, you can just go break some stuff. Check them out at their respective websites, too. Guys, that is going to wrap us up for today's episode. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll be at you soon.